Welcome. Is there anybody new? I can't tell. I don't think so. If you are new, just say hi and then I know. But I don't. Hi, Kurt. I thought maybe you were new. Nice to have you. All right. Well, are you all comfortable enough? Hopefully. I'm in a funny mood. I'm like, what shall we do? I'm just kidding. We'll close our eyes and see what happens. And for Kurt, I'd usually Guadalupe. No, you're not new, Guadalupe. You've been before, right? Yeah, I think you have. Because I recognize your name.
A
You don't
few
have to.
times.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome. We'll share a meditation and then there'll be a bit of time, as always, for conversation. So sorry, I'm like, okay. Be comfortable and when you're ready, you can close your eyes. I'm sorry, that was a bit of a strange introduction. I was a bit running around right before. Usually I'm not running around at least 15 minutes before, but I was. And it's quite nice to just plop myself in front of my computer and then there you all are. But then except I'm the one who's supposed to do something. And sometimes I'm like, oh. But that's only temporary, this feeling that I have to do something. Nevertheless, it can be a little burdensome, and I'm sure you know the feeling very well. So here we are, closing our eyes, and I don't need to do anything, and you certainly don't. And maybe we can just recognize that we have gathered together. Which is a doing, a sacred doing. And that's about all we need to do. And if we show up like this, or if we show up like that, no matter, we show up, we're here. There's no need to get rid of anything or change anything. And, you know, I think I've been thinking so much about this in the context of the non-dual teaching, such as I received it. And this idea that it's sort of embedded in the non-dual teaching, and it's not always very helpful. This idea that the experience of being a person is an expression of separation, or the experience of suffering is an expression of the belief in separation, which is manifest as the person, as the sense of being the person, the doer. And I think the more I live, the more I investigate, and the more I have the courage to challenge, not to challenge, but to question the teachings I received. The more I allow myself to do that, I think I see it a little bit differently. I think that, of course, there's no separate entity. There's nothing separate in this totality. That's an absolute certainty for me, and hopefully for you, even if sometimes there might be the experience of being an isolated fragment, of being very alone. That may be an emotional landscape sometimes, but there is the certainty that there is nothing separate in this adventure, this experience of manifestation, but nevertheless, there is an experience of being Ellen. And so you can replace the name Ellen by your own name and, ask yourself without getting too mental, but just ask yourself, maybe you don't agree with it. We can have a discussion later, but is it also your experience that there is a feeling that Claire and Anne and Eugene and Jan Marie and etc., that you are here, not just as awareness, but as that particular individual? And I don't know that the non-dual contemporary teachers deny that, but there's such an emphasis on the absolute that when we arrive in meditation, there's a lot of energy spent returning to this place, which isn't a place. Of I, the I that is invisible and pure and borderless. And fair enough, I think that that is meditation is a sort of return to that natural, essential nature. But, or and, I'm not in such a rush anymore to dissolve this feeling of Ellen or this experience of being an individual who seems to be on a path or a journey that is very specific, different from each one of your journeys. And I'm very deeply interested in the individual journey, not just mine, in fact, but I am interested in mine. Not in the name of the separate ego, in the name of life. So it's a sort of paradox, and I'm not the first one to name it or acknowledge it, but I think I'm just, well, I seem to be saying something tonight, slightly shining a light on that. Also, perhaps this notion that suffering doesn't have a great rep. Well, in general, of course, nobody wants to suffer, but we all suffer. And I use this word in the broadest sense, to describe the innocuous, the sort of low-grade suffering, the low-grade psychological suffering that we experience, most of us, every day. And in the non-dual sort of modality or approach, we feel or we say that that is an expression of separation, and that all that is needed is to sort of go on some kind of a process to debunk this belief in being a separate self, and that takes care of the suffering. And I think that's also a little bit misleading sometimes, although I think it's true that that is true, and it has such an amazing potency, that self-inquiry or that self-investigation. And I think that our suffering isn't a mistake, and is not just an expression of the belief in being a separate self. It's an expression of incarnation. It's inevitable, and I don't know what else I want to say at this point, but perhaps we can leave it now, or I'll pause. And you don't need to think about what I've just said. We can explore it later on, or perhaps it's my way of saying welcome. You're welcome here. Not just We're not each one with your with whatever you bring. Your baggage, your hearts, your broken hearts, and your weary bodies. And all the things that you have yet to discover about yourselves, or that we have yet to discover about ourselves. And in a way, when we gather here, it's not the place or the moment to explore the individual circumstance or story or dream or astrological chart, or it's not the place when we gather here, at least in this particular meeting. It is a meditation, and we are turning our attention towards the invisible. The ultimate reality, whatever you like to call it, him, her. So feeling that, perhaps right this moment, that you're orientating yourself, turning towards this invisible altar. And on the on this invisible altar, you can place anything at all, anything that arises moment by moment becomes an offering. And don't feel you have to do something, like you have to take something away and place it on the altar. Actually, just by closing our eyes and not doing anything and allowing, which again is not a doing, but becoming aware of our experience moment by moment, tasting our experience. That is the offering. That is the offering to the altar. So the simple non-activity is the offering. Precisely because you don't do anything with whatever is experienced. You're giving it back to God. Because usually with whatever we experience, be it a line of thinking or a feeling, an emotion, or whatever, we usually are doing something with it, trying to get rid of it, trying to change it, evaluating it, labeling it, comparing it, all that kind of thing. And in that sense, we're in the marketplace, engaging in some kind of commerce. And the way I say it just now is very negative, but it's not just negative. We do it again, that's what we do as individuals, and it has its value, its place, its mystery. But now we're not on the marketplace. And so we're having a break. So that each breath is God's breath, each thought, God's thought. Knowingly, it's always the case, but knowingly, each tingling pulsation, contraction, elation. Don't try to do what I'm saying, or even to understand what I'm saying. I'm just describing something. But you don't really, if it doesn't land, if it doesn't caress, if the words are tedious, you just let them slide away. The silence is way more eloquent. Don't feel that resistance needs to be wrestled with, for example. If there is resistance, be it a sort of discomfort in the body or a sort of mixture of a feeling of resistance and a bodily resistance. Something very familiar to most of us. If that's there, so it is. So it is. Hello. There's also breath. There's also the sound of my voice. There's also the sounds of whatever else. And there's also the space, the quality of, I don't know, that mysterious space that's not a physical space. It's a bit like the blue sky. And the clouds are the experiences, some nice and white and fluffy, and others a bit darker, a bit denser. You can go for the sky. In meditation, I recommend it. Just know that everything is unfolding in the sky, even made out of the sky, and then so you don't have to worry about any of it. Just take off. And your old body is saying, well, yeah, but I don't feel like the sky. I feel heavy and dense and pain. And so, okay, so let's go see the body. Let's go check this body out and see if we can help. Body is riddled with the belief that it is a limited, solid, dense. Stone of a body. Because it's constantly having to work hard on behalf of the separate self, which is different from the individual self. The separate self doesn't want to feel, it wants to affirm or safeguard its security, it wants to stay safe. So then the body has to work very hard to maintain that position. And so feel your body right now. Feel that the evidence of that, right this moment, the evidence of the hard work. It is for the body to shield, protect, defend. Don't do anything with it, with a feeling you're discovering, just feel it. It's the least we can do. Least we can do for the body when we're in meditation is to honor it by feeling it. Hello, dear body. And thanking it before we proceed any further, thanking it, thanking the shoulders and the, I don't know, the back body. Thanking your face, your forehead, the eyeballs. Thanking whatever place you feel needs to be thanked, because you can feel it's been working a little bit over time on very low wages. Thank you. And then very gently you can, with your tactile sense, sort of place your body in meditation. So say without saying, say it with your tactile sense, say with your tactile sense, body, look now, with at least here for this time in the shrine with Ellen and friends. You can have a bath. You can surrender what you're holding, for example, in your shoulders, in your jaw, in your hips, in your thighs. You can say to your body, in this moment, body, you don't have to hold me. You don't have to secure me inside you. You can feel for a little bit that you are unfolding in a borderlessness, a sky-like borderlessness. So you can be like a cloud. You say this directly to your pelvis and your hips. You don't have to hold me. You can release, relax. Really feel that place, the place of contact between your body and the earth, between the earth and your body. Let it be cloud-like. As if your legs could just hang down from the hip socket, vertically down, shaking your legs down into the earth. Don't worry if there's still some pain or unpleasantness. It's the body. It's allowed to unwind. Let the breath help, spreading your body into gravity. I don't live in the body, it's rather the opposite. The body lives in me. In meditation, I, me, is this borderlessness. Your body wants to move a little bit, you know, don't hold it still in a tight way. Let it move a little bit if it wants to. Movement is maybe the body's way of tasting this surrounding, alive, spaciousness, openness. There's no right or wrong here. It's right or wrong appear in the mind. So maybe there is right or wrong, but see that that's just a very entrenched habit of thinking. That we're tasting the raw expression of the body. In fact, let's move. My body wants to move, so I imagine maybe your bodies would like a little bit of movement. So just take your, I don't know, let's take our arms and open your arms right and left as if you were unfolding your wings. Let them rise up, your arms. Turn your palms to face the space in front. So your arms are open to the horizontal right and left. And now let your arms fall up to the sky. So fall, so it's weightless. They're rising, but it's weightless, no effort, all the way to the ceiling. Can you drop your shoulders? Can your tippy tips of your fingers touch the ceiling? And can the hips and the thighs sink into the earth? And then just staying here and feel your whole body. Even if it's burning, just feel your whole body, offer your body in all directions. And then slowly melt your arms. They're coming down, they're coming down. You don't see your arms, you just feel your arms. Let them be alive, a bit more liquid. Your arms are coming down. Now they're resting wherever they're resting. Feel the touch, the texture. Temperature. And now feel your backs. Your back is rounding. So if you're sitting against the back of a chair, just come forward a bit so that you can have a bit of space and let your back round itself, rounding the back slowly. I have to use words, but feel that. We don't know what the back is except for this current sensation. Don't visualize your back. Feel. And the breath. Tasting, very sensual, the coming and going of the breath for no reason. Hello, the in-breath. The out-breath. Tasting. Nowhere to go, no reason to taste, just tasting for tasting. Is there a breather? Can I allow the breather to relax so that just the in-breath without any pulling? The out-breath without any pushing? Is the weight of the pelvis released as much as it might like, and your arms resting on your lap resting on the earth. Welcoming anything that arises. Nothing is a mistake. Yes, now slowly, just without doing it, feel a little. Verticality arise from the root of the pelvis. Little flames licking the front of the torso. Licking and rising and licking and rising. But you're not doing it, so it's not a pushing up to vertical, it's just a sort of growing organically. It's Explore that again. So, rounding the spine again. Very central. Don't do it. Just allow it. Taste it. We're so used to doing things mechanically and for a reason, so be patient. Feel the habit of anticipating or manipulating. Taste that, because that too is an experience. It's the experience of separation. It's worth tasting. You might want to move your head a little bit just to feel the back of your neck. Very gentle, the movements of the head. Feeling your heart. What is living in your heart? Heavy or not? Feeling your mouth, your throat. This position is a emotionally, it's a kind of abdication, a position. So feel it. Not so much the psychology of it, but the tactility of it. But also feel that it's supported in all directions. And it's alive. And again, feel that very root of your pelvis, the perineum, right between the sexual organs and the anus. Go there with your tactile sense, if you can. Don't worry if you can't. Feel the energy there, the sensation. Very sensual, very tactile if you feel it. Quite intense, perhaps. Make sure you're breathing. And then from that very root of the pelvis, feel the energy rising. Slowly. Notice how the doer gets in there quite readily, but see if you can stay with a tactile sensation of rising, flame, licking, licking the torso, the space in front. Feel your belly, your solar plexus, your heart area. Whole front of your torso. Touching, kissing the space in front, why not? Feel the skin, the sensation of your skin, of the clothes, the touch, tingling on your arms, on your belly. Whole torso, your neck, your face. And let that sensation be as champagne-like as it wants, bubbles. Very connected to the space in front. Don't be scared. The separate self hates this. It's like, no, we're staying right here. Behind closed doors. We're not doing this stuff. But that's just a separate self. And the separate self doesn't really exist. It's just made of these feelings and sensations, which may very well be present here right now, like a little bit of a clutching. in your, I don't know, in your heart area or in your belly or in that sensation called fear. But it doesn't need to disappear. You can still explore this feeling of the front of the torso losing its border. Make sure you're breathing. Make sure if there's movement that wants to unfold, you let it. You might want to now shift the attention to the back of the body and feel a caress, the whole back of the body from the top of the head, the back of the head, the sides of the back of the head, the neck in the back, and then feel your whole back body, the sensation of the clothes on your skin, shoulders, upper back, middle back, your waist, your lower back. Whatever comes, don't force it. Just feel the back of your pelvis, back of your legs, even if they're sitting, whole back body, back of your arms. Beginning to say, oh, somebody's calling us into onto the radar. The whole back body's like, yes. We're usually just used as a what? As a sort of fortress. But right now it's like, oh no, okay, we're allowed to be like champagne too. Feel your back body, skin tingling. And then feel the whole back body beginning to, I don't know, recognize on a tactile level that it's not really separate from the space that extends behind. And of course, again, that there'll be some resistance, which is so interesting to just taste. Can taste both together, both the champagne borderless feeling of losing that sort of feeling of being a tight envelope, losing it, champagneing your body. And at the same time, you can taste those stone-like places. It's like a gourmet meal, this yoga. You taste all sorts of things. Or a tantric meal, not gourmet. Gourmet would be only good things, but we taste the bad things too, the so-called bad things. Well done following me and my adventures. Let your bodies move. Champagne movement, whatever that means. Your body's like liquid champagne, so it's being poured, but not into a glass, poured out into the openness. Liquid body, liquid bubbly body, bubbly liquid body. Make sure you, if you're allowing your body to move, which I hope you are, you don't need to orchestrate it. Let it happen. Let the invisible hands be the current that moves this liquid body. And it's not separate from the space in which it's moving. It's like a ripple. It's rippling the space. Let your body be a ripple in the space, and that ripple can be as subtle or as, I don't know, less subtle. And your head, and then your arms. Maybe your arms are moving away from your torso. Your fingertips, your palms, your wrists. Your eyes are closed. Nobody's seen. Stay very intimately connected to the moment by moment, rippling. Rippling. Your legs may want to unfold, or even your feet may want to step and stand, your legs. It's like there's an outer shape to this movement, but there's also an inner shape, as if the feeling of the movement is shaping with emotions or feelings inside, somewhere inside. Make sure the breath is married to the whole process. The invisible mover is also the invisible breather. Yes. And all at the same time, know yourself as the n never moving borderlessness. So that your movement is actually, I don't know how to put this in words, but it's not moving. And your stillness is dancing. And also, you are just Ellen and Jane and Claire and Jan Marie and Ali, listening to Ellen guide a crazy meditation. That's true too. And Hilka and lots more. And now leave, let yourselves, your body melt back into the stillness. Or let the stillness permeate the movement. Be comfortable. Leaning back on your chair or really surrendering the body to gravity and allowing the embrace, the invisible embrace. Thank you, everyone. Shall we come back at half past, whatever hour where you are? Have a little break. Go gently. Come back for a chat. Welcome back. Nice to see you. Okay, nice to see your faces. Well, we've got a half hour and it's open for questions or comments or whatever. Feel free. Just wave and you can unmute yourselves. It's a small group, so. Oh, Krista, hi. You put your little hand up.
Unmute, yes. I think this is else. I don't know if it is a comment or what it is, but I think what triggered me was this, what you said about suffering and that because I think sometimes it is good to say suffering, you think you are a separate self, whap. But I also think that it is
I love that.
very important that in suffering there is a deep mystery, I think. And we cannot, it is about the language, because the language must reflect what is going on. And what I was attracted to is in this non-dual way, especially Francis is stressing this not knowing. But then I think this not knowing, it is more deep. So we cannot know that suffering, that bum, bum. So it's
I get it. No, it's.
More, and therefore in our language we must have this other way of
Right. Well, maybe what you're saying, Krista, is, and I think we must be able to say one thing and it's contrary. We must be
yes.
able to say one thing and then we must be able to say exactly the opposite
Yes, we
because
must soften it, and because there is a deep, I really think that suffering also can show something. And I like very much 14 days ago, I think you said something, I don't know the words, but in my way of remembering it, it was every suffering or a bad feeling is a prayer for to be taken care of for love. And this language is much more open to what is. And I can say to you that this sentence, not in the moment you said it, but afterwards, I could feel, okay, there was something here that resonated very much. And I think it was because you used the word praying, because this word is, in my way, it is a very gently, and I told this sentence, I told this to two other people which I thought that they
Present.
could understand, and they also felt they came to their heart and it said something, not
Right,
something,
right, right.
but it opened for something. And
Right.
that's okay, that was beautiful, very beautiful.
Well, Krista, I encourage you to find your own language because you're right.
Yes.
Really find your own guide meditations on by yourself, or make, invite us. We'll come to you, or just what your own language. It's so important. Even though, and at the same time, you go see Francis and you recognize that truth when it's transmitted, of course. But then you come see Ellen and she's more like a little bit less boom boom, and you resonate and then you learn. And this is what I think I was talking about in the early part of the meditation with the individual. It's like each one, we're going to have a different sensitivity, a different resonance, a different response to language, and it's very important, and it will be intimately connected with our suffering, exactly, with what happened to us, what is happening to us, etc., etc., in a way that's beyond, we cannot possibly understand it, but we can get little hints, and then we know that we're serving the process, not just the big process, but also the big process in the absolute sense of the word, but the big process in the sense of living our life as an individual. It's also big. It's just very, very big to live a meaningful life. Anyway, I'm rambling, but thank you so much for sharing your experience. Your experience with language, really. And thank you, Krista. Claire, you want to say something?
Just before class started, and actually confirmed so much by what your language was today, was that the sense that I'm doing all of this, coming to the shrine and all the other things that I do, not to eliminate Claire, but it is for her. It's not the separate, and I just love that distinction. It was so perfect. It's not the separate Claire, it's the individual Claire, because everything else is, doesn't need anything different than it is. But so all of this is like turning towards the individual Claire and saying, yeah, you get to be here, you get to be loved, you get to love. I mean, really getting that the loving is for Claire too. The meditation, the movement, all of it.
Absolutely.
Wow.
And then, of course, who and what is Claire? And there's so
Exactly.
many answers in many different
It's
moments.
not separate.
Well, it's not
Not
separate.
separate.
It's also there's so many ways to answer that question. So many
Right.
ways. But then there's a very basic way. All of us here were children, and we were all children who, it's really, I've been observing this infant for a seminar, and he's living in a happy enough family. It's a really loving family, but nevertheless, I see he's 8 months and he's now in the process of separation. It's devastating, I see suffering is built into being a human, and we were all children here, and we all had not necessarily happy circumstances. So already, we come to a meditation, that little child is right there saying, oh, maybe, as you said, like, oh, here's a place where something good happens to that place when you're still a little child. So that's already one Claire. She's little, but there are many others. And there's the sage Claire, and there's whatever, all sorts and aspects that we have yet to discover if we are interested. Anyway, so yes, Claire. Claire, Krista, your names, we each have a name. Isn't that amazing?
Hi, Ellen.
Hi, Hilka.
It was so sweet, both ladies and you. But it felt like you were chanting a heart to sutra in the beginning. I just recently discovered it. Adyashanti was chanting it, and it felt like woo. But the whole paradox of that individuation, that it's not yet enlightenment if you are staying fixated in the absolute, that it's more fluid and it includes the particular. And that is so palpable here with a movement. When I was really frustrated before I came here, I was arguing about the absolute.
Were you?
Like, fine, fuck you. That kind of feeling. And then with the movement, it felt like a love, the frustration, and it became such a deep stillness and love, and it felt like an infinite love was pouring down, and there was no separation. So it was really powerful. Thank you.
I'm very curious what you were arguing about. That's where I go. Like,
With Daniel, yeah.
yeah,
Old friends. We are like sister and brother.
that's nice. Yeah, I'd like to hear Adyashanti chanting the Heart Sutra.
I will send you a clip, maybe, if I
Okay, I'll
can.
share it with the group as well.
Yes, good.
Thank you, Hilka. Nice to see you.
Hi, Ellen.
Hi, Janet.
I'm not even sure what I want to say, but at the beginning, I think you just said the word loneliness in the course of something that you said, and I realized that I have spent so much time in my life lonely and running from loneliness, starting when I was a kid. And I realized today, like, oh, I don't know it. I know the word and I know the running, but I don't actually know what it's made of. I don't actually, I mean, I think I know, I can describe it, I can say, oh yeah, this happens in my mind. Doesn't, it's all kind of up here. I mean, I can, but there's like a sense of really not knowing it. Yeah.
That's really wonderful, Janet, what you're saying.
I guess so.
I mean, it's not
Yeah.
wonderful in itself.
No,
It's,
I know
but
what you
it's a
mean. Yeah.
very interesting realization.
Yeah. I mean, and it's
And
it can be perpetuated by the non-dual understanding sometimes, because we're such a there can be such a hurry to spiritualize or to whatever, to that it can collude with the habit of pushing away or mentalizing. Whereas but if we look at loneliness as something so valuable, I mean, not even that, because that sounds silly, but I don't know. It's a landscape that is happening to you, Janet, and it's probably connected to so many other aspects of Janet, and it's obviously important, especially if it's been a theme. And again, and you're so anyway, I want to hear if you had more to say. I'm sorry, I'm interrupting, but.
No, you're not interrupting. I love what you're saying. I mean, I've had the experience of living without it, for long periods of time when I was more, there was more of a sense of just being present,
Yes.
it's, yeah, so there's like a knowing of, oh no, there, it just didn't come up as a thing, but I think, yeah, in the last couple of years, 2 or 3 years, it's been much more insistent, on I guess I could say it's insisting on being known. Because it that's how it felt today. It felt like, oh, you poor little loneliness. Come on, here, I'm here,
Yes, and it's not necessarily going to like it if you just reduce it to an expression of a belief in separation. Because if loneliness, funny, because I was talking to an astrologer and he was talking about Saturn, the archetype of Saturn, and in the realm, the so-called relative realm, there's a lot to explore, but it's spiritual to explore this relative realm. For example, your loneliness. Is I don't know how to say it. It's obviously spirit and a spiritual exploration. Of course, if you just say I'm lonely and then you say it's because him, because poor me, because if you stay there, then it's going to be a bit of a
It's just
limited exploration, right? But to allow yourself to feel it, but also to look at your circumstance, to look at your beliefs, not your beliefs in terms of your true nature, but your beliefs in terms of being a victim of a circumstance, or being or and looking at your astrological chart, for example, or looking and dreaming, having a dream and looking at your dream, and all of that is not serving the separate self, it's serving life, because you're tasting places that would usually not be tasted, as you just said, because it's sort of shadowy and sort of not very nice, and so that's not there. Or if we go there as the victim, and we stay very limited. It takes a certain, I don't know what, grace. It's grace that will lead us down those darker alleys of our lives.
Yeah, it seems so. It seems to require grace because I don't go down the, oh, poor little, I don't go
No.
into all of that so much, but it, I don't, I also don't go, oh, okay, what is here?
Yes, and of course I want to say now, like we're saying with Krista, the opposite, which is also valid to say, oh, we're not going there now. We're just treating it as a sensation in the now, and then of course from a sensation, it's much easier to go to the borderlessness. And a feeling is always very easy to reduce to a mere sensation in the now. Loneliness in the now is just going to be a sort of sensation somewhere in the body, which can be seen for what it is, just a sensation. But that would be also valuable. But I think it's just really giving equal, I don't know.
No,
It's going to be
that's
difficult.
helpful.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And I know, but I just want to say, because you said loneliness, it's a word, right? I mean, just one word to encapsulate a world. Each one of us will have a color. It would have a color. It would have a vibration. It will have a story, many stories.
Thank you, Ellen.
It's hard, loneliness.
It's
That's
hard. I agree.
but when it is, but sorry, it's hard, but if we can stick it out, it has something to it has something.
Yeah, I think so. I think I got that. Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Janet. Jackie, yes.
Yeah, I just wanted to continue the conversation because Janet, when you said the word loneliness, when you said I've been lonely, you're saying it to this group of sages, and it's being met in a way. It doesn't dissolve it, it doesn't make it go away necessarily, but it when I feel lonely and I tell someone, the loneliness doesn't go away, but it gets shared. And it's a, so it has a slightly different flavor to it. Just a flavor of understanding, of being understood. Yeah.
That's lovely, Jack. Because in a way, you know, here in these non-dual meetings, we share our being, right? We share the one and only being. But what you're talking about is not, yeah, but we also share the particularity of our suffering, as if we were sharing, you know, I'm going to drink a little bit of Janet's loneliness. Just obviously, I'm not going to take it on, but I'm going to sip it, and then. And then I don't know. As you say, we're not making it go away. We're not reducing it back to awareness. It's beautiful that.
And as you were speaking, Janet, I got the sense that, and I love the conversation about the individual Jackiness, the meanness, that this particular individual wants to taste everything. She's so curious about everything. So, of course, the universe is going to give her loneliness too, because she keeps thinking she wants to s taste everything. And to just have it be like lunch, and then you're going to have something else for dinner. I don't know. It just it broadened the buffet for me. So thank you.
Thank you, Jack. Jackie. And perhaps, you know, I'm just riffing on what you said, Jackie. Perhaps some of us are have a bigger appetite than others. We mustn't think everybody should be, you know, exploring every corner of their, you know, some people really are more absolutists, and they're just not all that interested in exploring that the realm of psychology or of so-called, you know, and fair enough, up to a certain point.
I'm going to continue this metaphor because I do love metaphors. So, the best meal, the most satisfying meal is when the individual and the absolute get to dance with each other. We get to taste both at the same time. Yeah.
Wait, you need to refine that metaphor. What kind of a dish would it be then? You'll have to think about
I have to think about that.
that. Yes, Doris.
This is a very, very interesting topic for me because I spend a lot of time in doubt and confusion about where to put my attention. Should I be looking for my true nature, every time, or should I be looking at what I'm feeling and my individual self? And then I, some people say, you just keep asking, what is feeling that? What is, and it's so burdensome to do that. What is, to have a feeling and say, what is feeling this? And yeah, it's really hard to have to want to be the have the absolute experience, which I've never even touched, and also I have so much psychological stuff that is in the way, maybe, or is it feels like it's in the way because there's so much.
Well, when you say I have never touched, but you keep coming back. So I forget about touching it. I think because I think you have this probably big sort of glamorous idea of what it would be like to touch the absolute. But consider the fact that you keep coming here, or and maybe to other meetings, and so, there's something very instinctual that like a little moth to the flame. You something whatever it is that brings you here or and to other such meetings. That is Doris's flame, and I don't know. And I think part of your makeup is a great deal of self-doubt, maybe, which I mean, I think we can all relate to it at that, but you come and gift us with that sometimes. And it's hard that because it's very convincing, but
It takes a lot of energy, and then so I'm busy with the doubt, and so but I feel like, yeah, I've never even touched it because I do think of it as a definite experience, the absolute. And like I'll feel anyway, I have all these ideas about what it is. And I think, oh God,
But you can taste your doubt, and you can taste the tasting, the fact that you can taste, the fact that you're here, the fact that there's something rather than nothing, the fact that we gather, and sometimes you can just taste, just I don't know, just have a little glimmer that wow, what a just wow, that's pretty mysterious, even though you're burdened with your doubt and your the burdens don't necessarily clash with the little the moments where we glimmer the mystery. You don't have to, we don't have to be, the burdens don't have to be over and before we can feel and touch the absolute. No, not at all.
Thank you.
That's what you inspire me, Doris.
You. Yeah, I feel something, a kindred spirit in a way, a similarity on a certain level.
Yes, probably. Think we're all kindred spirits and some way or another. Okay, everyone, this was so sweet. Thank you. Maria Rosa, I see you. And Thomas. Take care, everyone, and Rose, and Ali, and Jean Marie, and Guadalupe, and Zuzu, and Remco. Thank you all. Feel free to unmute yourself to say bye, and we meet again in 2 weeks' time.
Thank you.
Thank
Bye.
you.
Bye bye.
It's
Bye bye.
wonderful
Thank you
to
so
be
much.
here with all of you.
Lots of love.